In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our text is the Gospel pericope from Matthew 10, which was just read. The fall quarter is rapidly moving toward a conclusion, and I suspect that some of us may be struggling a bit. Classes, tests, papers, jobs, financial struggles, responsibilities with home and family, and field education work. How are you handling that? Is it all worthwhile? You feeling somewhat discouraged? Do you feel prepared for the pastoral ministry? I believe that these very real questions are addressed in our text for today, where we find Jesus gathering together his disciples and sending them out for some in-service training. The theme, admittedly, reflects my area of responsibility at the seminary, but also, I think, flows from the text. Sent on God's fieldwork assignment. First, who is sent? Our text suggests his men. He called unto him the 12 disciples. The names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. What a motley crew. Tremendous variety of backgrounds and personalities. A tax collector, a zealot, some fishermen, bold put his foot in the mouth Peter, and his quieter, more background brother Andrew. Would these men have been credentialed and accepted into even an average seminary? Were they qualified for ministry? But what counted is that they were his men. He chose them, he called them, and he sent them out as apostles. This is the only place in Matthew where the word apostle is used. I would hate to refer to us, professors and students alike, as a motley crew. And yet, do we not have varied backgrounds in terms of previous jobs and even religion, in terms of age? And I wonder whether, when an outside observer would look at us closely, whether we would be considered qualified for ministry. But what is important is that we are his men. He chose us. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are made his children in our baptism. And in various ways, we are called to come here and prepare for the holy ministry. Who is being sent? His men. Secondly, sent on what? On a ministry, his ministry of word and deed. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus is sending these disciples out on a ministry in which they need to speak that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then to put that into action in dealing with people in their physical, mental, and spiritual needs. Can you imagine the disciples wondering to themselves whether they had taken enough notes in his Sermon on the Mount class, or whether they had properly seen their sermons on videotape before doing this thing, or whether they understood one-on-one skills enough so that they might be able to relate to people and listen properly? But the important thing is that it was his ministry upon which they were being sent. Matthew makes it clear in his earlier chapters. Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand in himself. He acted it out in terms of his healing and his raising the dead and so forth. And so the disciples are being sent on nothing less than the very ministry of Jesus himself, a compassionate ministry. I'm sure that gave them comfort to go as they were. And in the same way, we are also sent on his ministry of word and deed. We may be struggling with the Greek period, or we may be struggling to use it enough to mine the riches of Scripture, and struggling to write that sermon that comes out doctrinally correct and applicable, but we are sent on his ministry. Jesus stands behind it and breathes through us. And so we're ready. Who is being sent? His men. On what? On his ministry of word and deed. Where are we being sent? In his field. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus is taking these disciples and he's saying, this is where I want you to serve for a time and then come back to me. Does it mean he's not interested in Samaritans and Gentiles? Not at all. It's the house of Israel. As Ezekiel indicated, sheep without a shepherd, still true. Their house needs to be put in order. And these men are to go in Galilee, nearby their homes, to people like themselves, and to reach out with that precious gospel. Then later, their field may change, and they will go to the ends of the world. I really appreciate the emphasis on this campus of worldwide missions, of cross-cultural sensitivity, and all of those things. And I know that some of you are just itching to get out there into the field. But I would like to point out to you that we are to minister in his field, which right now is here. It means right in the seminary. Lost sheep of the house of Israel, well, at least we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. All we like sheep have gone astray. We need to hear the gospel message following the law speaking to our hearts and our needs. And it needs to ring from the classrooms and in the chapel and in the dining hall and outside the classrooms and in our homes as we minister to one another the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, even in the auditorium for practice sermons. And his field for us does include the nursing homes and the hospitals and the parishes of our community. Practice, yes. Coming back to report, yes. But real people with real needs. And we are the men to do it. Who's being sent? His men. On what? On his ministry of word and deed. Where? In his field. And finally, how? Which has two answers. How? First of all, by his authority. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Exousia. These disciples did not make it on wearing clerical collars and huge crosses around their necks. They didn't have a student seminary ID card or a clergy badge. They had ordinary people with ordinary clothing, but they had something far better. The exousia, or authority, of Jesus Christ himself, who by virtue of his life and death and resurrection was endorsed by God as the authority of the universe with victory over sin, death, and Satan. He was to say, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And so it was his authority that impelled them. And the same is true for us. Not our academic credentials or our smooth personality, our glib tongue, or our absolutely correct doctrinal exposition, but his authority, which empowers us to minister. How? Finally, with his resources. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. They were just to go, as they were, without sandals, or a staff, or a beggar's bag, provisions, or an extra amount of clothing, simply to go and minister, in the process trusting that God would supply the resources necessary for them to get the job done. How often we struggle financially here and suspect that maybe out there it may not always be so easy either. But our text clearly says, His resources will be enough. Through people, through circumstances, through ourselves, but He will be the one who will provide the resources necessary to minister. Well, the quarter's almost over. We struggle. The questions are there. But isn't it great to know that we are sent as His men on His ministry, in His field, by His authority, and with His resources? That's some fieldwork assignment. Amen.